I don't know about you, but the saying, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, sounds just right to me. I mean, for thousands of years, people tried to practice this, you know, loving your neighbor and hate your enemies. It just sounds right, natural. How can you feel any other ways about your enemies? Isn't that the definition of an enemy? And yet the Lord Jesus is teaching us, his disciples, that we must love our enemies. I have seen this done once in my whole life. I was 12 years old. The South have just lost to the communist North in Vietnam. The soldiers from the North, the Viet Cong, overrunning the South, and the soldiers from the South were all taking off their uniforms and hiding and, you know, do whatever they needed to do then. And so there was chaos. And there were explosions and gunshots. And it was a terrifying, confusing time. And so the citizens of the South was hiding. We were hiding in our home, praying for safety, because we don't know what's going to happen to us. Now, my father, my birth father, was a major in the army. And he was killed by the communists 2 years prior. So I was 10 when my father was killed in the war, the Vietnam War. 2 years later now, we are in hiding in our room, in our house, and there was pounding on the door. Can you imagine? Pounding on the doors. And my mother fearfully went to the door and opened it up, and there stood in front of our doors three Viet Congs, three communist soldiers. And they said to my mother, "We're hungry." My mother invited them into the house and proceeded to make a meal. Now, I was 12 years old. Remember now, my father was killed by the communists 2 years prior. It made my mom a widow with four children. It turned us into people living in poverty. It caused our life tremendous suffering when my father was killed by the communists. And here she was, making a meal, cooking a pot of rice, and making the condiments for these three communist soldiers in our house. I was 12 years old, and I looked at these soldiers, and I thought, these are my enemies. The people that killed my dad. And there was my mom making a meal for them. I told you I've seen this, love your enemies, once in my life. And it happened once in my mother's life too, because I know she has done it only once. Because even now, you go to my house, you will have my mom screaming at the TV, cursing at her political opponents. She does not love her enemies now. She will call, if you are not in her political party, she will call you stupid. And she will disinvite you. That's my mom. She's very passionate about her politics. And I think many of us are. My point to you is that this love your enemy thing is very, very hard, close to an impossibility. Love your neighbor, yes. I mean, that's, love your neighbor is hard in itself. Love your enemy is almost impossible. I've seen it once in my life. Haven't seen it again. And yet, this is what the Lord is teaching us to do. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. How do we do that? I don't know. Because a few years back, a gentleman came up to me after Mass one day. He was he had been very frustrated with me for a long time. So finally, he got a chance to get it off his chest. So he looked at me, he said, "Father C, you are too long-winded," he said. "I can say what you repeat yourself over and over. I can say what you say in 2 minutes," he said to me. And I will tell you, he was right. I mean, I knew he was right. I'm long-winded. But I could not say to him, "Thank you for that criticism. Give me some more." I couldn't do that. I just could not. And yet the Lord Jesus tells us, if someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. Give it to me some more. I haven't been able to do that. And yet this is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was very hard for me to understand this demand of our Savior. I understood it a little bit better when the cathedral was built in Los Angeles. And if you go into it now, it's a modern building, you know. I don't like it very much. But in the cathedral, there are these tapestries. Have you seen them? These life-size tapestries depicting the saints. Okay? So if you go to the cathedral in Los Angeles, a very modern building, cathedral, you will see this along the walls, these saints marching. And they are life-size on a tapestry. It's huge. And the artist explained in the documentary how he did this. That he went out to the street and he asked some of the homeless from the street to come in. He invited some of his friends that he knew that was addicted to drugs. He invited alcoholics. He invited people who were sick, people who were depressed, people who, the downtrodden. So these were the people he invited specifically for this project. And what he did was, he sat them down, whoever they were, men, women, because all the different saints, you know, St. Augustine, St. Monica, St. Patrick, you know, all these saints, Mother Teresa, St. So he would explain to the person, may not even be Catholic. He said, "Okay, you are going to be St. Monica. Let me tell you the story of St. Monica. And then let me dress you up like St. Monica. And I'm going to have you take a portrait of you as St. Monica, St. John, St. Peter, whoever the person, the individual was portraying." And in documentaries, he said, you know, an amazing transformation happened. What happened was, when they first came in, they were all, remember, downtrodden, right? Depressed, because they were addicted to something. They were going through something in their life. They were homeless. All of these problems. So they weren't looking very happy. They weren't looking very saintly. And yet, as the process went on, the artist explained, as they sat in front of the camera, dressed like the saint that they are assigned to dress as, he saw that their appearance began to change. That by the end of the project, these individuals were different. They had a certain, self-confidence, certain self-assurance, certain attitude. They were different people. And he said that some of these people even said to him, they began to attend AA. They began to go back to school. They went to ask for help for mental conditions. I mean, through the project, these individuals, by portraying the saints, were transformed so that they began to believe that they could be better than who they were. Because within them, there exists a dignity of a saint. They believe that they could be saints. And therefore, they begin to change their way of life. And so after seeing this documentary, I came to realize what the Lord Jesus is doing for us. When he set the standard so high, because he wants to transform us. He wants for us to begin to realize that within us lies a dignity of saints. That we have to see the goals in our life. No, we cannot love our enemies. But that is the calling. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we come to the Eucharist today, we are listening to a calling. I want to point out to you that the gospel begins by saying, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. Now remember, he said many things to many people. The gospel will say, Jesus said to the crowd, meaning the people who came to see him, the people who came out of curiosity, the people who came just to be entertained by his miracles, the people who came just to, see a miracle workers, just to be entertained. And after they are entertained by what they saw and the preaching of our Lord, they come home and they go back to their life. That's the crowd. Okay? So there are the level of teaching where the Lord Jesus speaks to the crowd. Today, the teaching we hear, it says specifically, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. I think the problem is here. Is that you and I, who are baptized, are disciples of Jesus. And yet, we behave oftentimes like the crowd. We come, we listen, we say, well, that was nice. That was interesting, some new information, and we go home and we go on with our lives. The Lord Jesus is speaking to us as his disciples. He didn't tell the crowd to become saints. He didn't tell the crowd, love your enemies, turn the other cheek. He was telling us, his disciples. Not the crowd. The disciples who are followers of him. And we're talking about the 12. We're talking about Martha and Mary. We're talking about Lazarus. We're talking about John, Arimathaeus. We're talking about Nicodemus. We're talking about the 72 whom he eventually sent out. Those are the disciples. And that's us today. And he sets a standard for us. The standard is, you're going to be saints. I want you to begin to have your eyes fixed on that goal, to be a saintly people. And you're probably saying to me, Father C, come on, get real. I can never be a saint. I will tell you, I agree. We can never be saints on our own, by ourselves. Never. We are saints only by God's transformation, by God's grace working on us. But here is the crux of the issue, right? God can make a saint this moment, right now. You leave the Mass today, you are saintly. Right here, right now. But we have to say yes. We have to know what that is. We have to know that that's what God has in mind for us. Love your neighbor, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, on and on with the teachings. Only He can do that in us and through us. But we must say yes. And that yes must be a constant yes. Today, tomorrow, and the day after, for the rest of our lives. And this is why we struggle. Because we say yes sometimes, and we say no other time. But how can we begin the efforts to say yes if we don't know who we're called to be? And so, my brothers and sisters, today we are reminded, you and I, the baptized, are disciples of Jesus. We're called to be different than the crowd. We're called to be different than the people out there who don't believe. And how different need we be? We need to become saints. We cannot do it ourselves. Never. But it is God who will transform us and make us His saints. Today, the process begins by us saying, yes, Lord, make me your saint.